It's good to see you. It's good to fellowship. It's good to be in the body of Christ. You know, how blessed are we to be the King's kids? Amen? Amen. Yeah. You know, how long has this church been existing? You told me it was back in the 70s, I think it was. Something like the 70s. Do you know you're a miracle that you're here today? A lot of churches have fallen by the wayside. They've failed. The devil's come in and he's done a lot of destroying. But you know, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? You're here because of his great grace and his rich mercy in your life. That's why you still exist. Amen? And we're saved today by his grace and mercy. Nothing that we can conjure up or do on our own. It's all because of the finished work of Jesus. Can we give him a clap offering of praise? Just give him a shout of thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Wonderful Lord. Amen. My wife Karen is with me today. Would you raise your hand, Karen? And I'll tell you, she's a real blessing to me in the ministry and in my personal life. And we've been involved in just a lot of other ministries as well. And my wife and I, anybody here ever heard of mounted shooting? You run your horse out in the arena. Okay, yeah. You run your horse out in the arena. You got single action 45 pistols and lever action rifles. And you go out and you go for speed and accuracy. And they call her Miss Angel, and they call me the preacher. And we do the cowboy church services there, and we pass out tracts and Bibles and witness and minister and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun, you know. So it's amazing being a Christian how many different open doors the Lord will give us to minister in, you know. We just have to be available. That picture over there, that's a picture of the first chapel that we had in Rochelle. That picture is actually 20 years old. You know, but by the grace of God here back in November, we got a new chapel. We raised the funds, and it's, how much was it, Karen, to raise it? Do you remember? It was a whole bunch of money. It was around 30 grand, you know, and, but people pitched in and they raised the money, and we got the new chapel there now, and, the old chapel, we actually wore it out. Amen? Souls coming in and out of that old trailer. It's like a swinging door, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Souls coming in to hear the gospel. Amen? They ain't coming in to hear New Age philosophies and some program or some method. They're coming to hear about Jesus Christ and what he can do for a life to change it and to turn it around. What a wonderful Lord. In the Highway Magazine there, there's an article in there about the new chapel and some of the things, how it came together, and we're so very thankful for that. You know, I preached here before, but the last couple of weeks I had people call me, and they said, Jay, they said, we had no idea that you was a missionary. They said, we thought that you were on a payroll and you just got a weekly check or whatever. But I am a missionary evangelist. I've been doing this for 22 years. The first 2 years, I traveled around the United States to different truck stops and ministered there. But the last 20 years, I've been there at the petrol. And what they call these, there's like about 28 of these chapels in the United States. I think there's 5 in Canada. There's a couple over in Moscow, Russia, 1 in Africa. They call them ministry centers. So this is the Rochelle Ministry Center is what it is. And so we've got to raise the support to keep the doors open. And by the grace of God, the Lord's been providing that, you know. I was commissioned into this work by New Life Evangelical Free Church. And that little church there, it started, sounds very similar to you guys here. You know, we started meeting in homes and witnessing and bringing people to the home Bible studies and playing guitars and the tambourines in the homes. And one thing led to another. And they said, well, let's try to start having Sunday morning services. So they rented a little lion's den at a fairground. We did that for about one winter. And then they found an old abandoned church that had been empty for a long time. And so we started renting that. And started fixing it up and remodeling it. And after a few years, we bought that church. And my wife, Karen, and I were married in that church. This May 1st will make 33 years. And that's a miracle. Yeah. If you know me, that's a miracle. So, and we had 3 children. Karen homeschooled all 3 of the kids. Our children were dedicated to the Lord in that little church. I was a deacon and youth leader in the church. And just a lot of fun. Karen and I taught little 4 and 5-year-old children. What a blessing that was for my wife and I to do that together. We really enjoyed that. Those little kids are real. You know that? They're honest. They're genuine. They're a blessing is what they are. You know why? The pastor Mike Dixon, he's the one who encouraged me to go to Moody Bible College. So he said, Jay, you need some formal training, he said. And so he's the one who took me there to Moody Bible College. And what was neat at that time, I had my own little construction little business, I guess, with a few guys and stuff. And I was preaching on the streets of Chicago once a week. I was getting to some of the county jails and the prisons. And he said, Jay, you need to go to Moody. He said, I really think it'll be good for you. And it was. It was a blessing. And then back in 91, I think it was, Focus on the Family, they had a radio interview with Transport for Christ. And they were looking for men that would be full-time missionary chaplains on these chapels. And Pastor Mikey heard the interview, and about four people in the church heard the interview. And they said Jay would fit in to that kind of a ministry. So they bought an airplane ticket to send me out to Bloomsbury, New Jersey, to spend a week on the chapel. And I didn't know nothing about it. And I called Pastor Mike in the middle of the week, and I says, Pastor Mike, what's this new ministry that I'm involved with? And he told me about it. And I said, Mike, I am not interested in ministering at truck stops. I said, I have no desire. I said, I'm doing what God is calling me to do. And I said, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I said, but if you guys already bought the ticket, I said, I'll go out there in prayer, and I'll check it out, and I'll bring report back. And what was really neat is that the very first evening that I was there, I met a man from Mendota, Illinois. He lived 10 miles away from me. The Lord allowed him to drive all the way out to Bloomsbury, New Jersey. He's a truck driver. Allowed me to fly all the way out there as well, 10 miles away, but we had to meet out there, and praise God, he got saved that night. And that whole week was just a glorious week. I went out there to check the ministry out, and I wanted to see how it operated. And they put me on the test. They said, no. They said, you're here because we're checking you out. They said, we want to hear you teach and preach and counsel people and work with people. And so I didn't even know what was going on or what it was about or anything, but that week was a glorious week. We've seen several people, you'll come to salvation, and just a gift from God. This ministry I'm involved with, it's 24 hours a day. It's 7 days a week. I don't know. I'm sure there's other ministries out there, but I'm not aware of other ministries that are going. They're going, and they're running. They're operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Petro, they did a survey, and they said there's anywhere from 2,300 to 2,600 trucks that come through the Petro in a 24-hour period. On an average, that's 100 trucks an hour that are coming in and out of that truck stop. That's a fresh lake to fish from every day. New people, new souls that are there every day. That truck stop, it'll hold 400 big trucks. That's a good size truck stop. A lot of them little bitty small places, they're not that big. You know, it's God has put his hand of blessing upon that petrol truck stop. Back in about 91 or so there, I met with a man named Bert Johnson. He was the main investor of that petrol truck stop. He's a Christian man too. And he was the one who pushed to have a ministry there. He heard about me, and he called me up one day, and he said, Jay, he says, would you meet with me up here? He says, I'm going to start a new truck stop. So I met him up there in January. We pulled into the driveway of a cornfield. All it was just the stubbles there and a foot of snow. So I sit in his car, and he's telling me about this big truck stop and all these trucks coming in and the lights and everything going on and souls and souls. And he looked over at me, and I guess I was looking out the window, and he said, what's wrong, Jay? And I said, well, Bert, I go, I don't see souls. I don't see a truck stop. I go, all I see is an old cornfield under snow. He said, Jay, you've got to be a man of vision. He said, I did my homework, he says. He said, there's no truck stops at that time from Beloit, Wisconsin, all the way down to Bloomington, Illinois. He said, this is a wide open harvest field. And Bert was a man of vision. He was absolutely right. He said, what are you going to do? He said, if I can get you there at the truck stop. I said, well, Bert, I need the ability, I said, to be able to get out and to move around and to mingle in a truck stop and in the parking lot. I was at other truck stops, ladies and gentlemen, where they said that they wanted me there. But what they done is they put the chapel in the back corner. And they said, you can preach your heart out in that little trailer. They said, when you come outside that door, we don't want to hear nothing about your God. The Petro was gracious to me. They want me there. They want me up and about and moving and stuff. And I got an 8-foot cross that I carry around sometimes through the day, and I'll pass out tracts and Bibles. I've got a horse. I'll bring my horse up the truck stop, and I'll fill the saddlebags full of tracts and Bibles. I got a bullhorn, and I'll go around the parking lot just preaching and sharing Jesus with the people. That's a miracle that God would allow that freedom, that open door like that. They give me free meals while I'm working there. I get free showers while I'm working there. A lot of the management, they're Christians. It's a miracle. I'll stand out front there one time praying with three or four drivers as they're getting ready to get in their trucks and leave. And there was a young Hispanic girl that I'd been witnessing to from California, and she was a gangbanger. And she came out here to Illinois, tried to get her life together, and I was witnessing with her. But while I was holding hands praying with these these three men, she seen that. And the manager was a Christian. His name is Bill. And he looked at her, he goes, "What's wrong?" And she says, "I need to be out there." He said, "If you want to go," she says, "go. Just go out there," he said. And she came out there. She broke her hands apart. She grabbed her hands. She says, "I'm ready, Chaplain Jay." I go, "You're ready for what?" She says, "I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to cry out to Jesus. I need him in my life." She prayed, give her heart to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, when she came back in to the restaurant area, the truck driver stood up and gave a clap offering of praise for the goodness of God. And the majority of those drivers are not Christians. But to see how God can touch a life and change it like that, that's a miracle. Amen? I believe God can resurrect the dead. He can heal the sick. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's a great physician. But the greatest miracle of all is to touch an old wretched heart, transform it and change it, and make us brand new. Amen? I've got 8 men that volunteer and help me there on the chapel. And we take different shifts and stuff to try to keep the chapel going. We do 9 full services a week there. Every night at 7 o'clock, we've got a regular worship service with music and preaching every night. Sunday morning, we've got a worship service. And then Karen, she does a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday morning as well. It's a real blessing to be a part of something like that. Along with that as well, though, we do Bible studies throughout the day, prayer meetings. We do family and marital counseling. I get principals that will send people out to the truck stop because they feel I'm kind of a neutral ground there, not like a church. And I've literally seen troubled students that the principals have sent out there, that their whole families have come out to that little trailer. And I've seen whole families repent and commit their hearts to the Lord. That we've been able to get them plugged into local churches around the area. There are hundreds of employees that work there at the petrol truck stop. The majority of them are unchurched and they're unsaved. They don't know Jesus Christ. There's a trucker store, the restaurant, the fuel island, the lube bay, the mechanic shop. That's a lot of souls that are there. A lot of these big trucks, they got team drivers. So it doubles. Every day there's local people and tourists that come through there. And this is not only a local ministry and not only in the state of Illinois, but this is actually, I'm touching people all over the United States, Mexico and Canada that are coming through the truck stop there. And you know what's amazing? It's not only just that. That little trailer is international. We're literally reaching people around the globe in other countries. We've had people come to salvation from Russia, Romania, Africa. I was out in the parking lot here, and I was just walking up, passing on some tracks, inviting people to come to the service. And I walked up to this one gentleman. He was kind of walking away. We kind of walked towards each other like this. And I tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, sir." I said, "I'd like to invite you to the evening service tonight." He kind of jumped around like this. I startled him. I said, "It'd be a pleasure to have you there." I said, "I know you'll be blessed if you take the time out to be there tonight." He didn't say yay or nay or nothing. He walked away. But at 7 o'clock at night, he came in the chapel. His name was Lanier. Lanier's from Puerto Rico. He'd been over here about 6 months. He was a gangbanger as well. Shared the gospel stuff with him and during the service. And there was a man that was in the chapel that evening. This front part of the trailer here, there's about 30 foot there, and I've got 3 rows of chairs and the pulpits up front. And the back 18 foot, that's my office and living quarters while I'm there. So we had a good full house that night. There was this one gentleman sat towards the back there. This man could quote the Bible. He had his Bible open, he could just quote it, and he's quoting scriptures and stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, everything he was sharing was twisted and tainted. It was wrong doctrine. He was not rightly dividing the word of truth. And I kept trying to minister to this Lanier because I really discerned that he was lost and he was needy. And every time I tried to minister to him, this man would keep quoting scriptures and he was sharing things that were weird and bizarre and twisted. How many realize this morning that the devil will send people to church too? Amen? That's what was going on there. Finally got to the point, this man got up. Lanier was sitting towards the front, excuse me, and this guy got up with his Bible and started sharing things like that right in front of the guy. And I go, "Whoa, that's it. Stop right now." I said, "In the name of Jesus, you're not doing that anymore." He goes, "Well, we're just trying to have fellowship here." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "You can take your doctrines of demons and devils and you can leave with it." I said, "You're not welcome here." He says, "You're throwing me out of the church." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I mean, this man was causing problems, ladies and gentlemen. And you might think, well, that don't sound right to throw somebody out of the church. But if you've got a soul that's right there before you and he's crying out for help and somebody else comes along and keeps taking you off Anybody here ever do any witnessing outside the church and streets and stuff? Many times you can be on target here to share Christ with somebody. Somebody else will come along and they just keep changing the subject. They keep taking you off topic. That happens a lot. And you, ladies and gentlemen, as a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, have to have the spirit of discernment to know what's going on around you. Otherwise, you won't see people get saved. That man left, he slammed the door and he got mad. But you know, when he walked out the door, there was a peace that settled down in that trailer that wasn't there before. It was just amazing. And when that peace hit there, Lanier was able to hear the word of God. I started sharing some things of spiritual warfare. And I go, Lanier, you probably don't understand spiritual warfare. He goes, well, yes, I do, he says. He goes, I've been a Satanist, he says, for over 12 years. He pulled up his T-shirt, and up across his shoulders and across his back was the goat head, a satanic symbol he had tattooed all over his back. As we shared, he said, you know, when you came out there, he says, and you tapped me on the shoulder to invite me to the service, he said, for the last month, I've been trying to get my life together. Trying to get it in order, he said. And it just don't happen. Things keep happening. I was doing pretty good there last month. All of a sudden, he says, when I was crossing across that road to go to the restaurant, he said, this big truck came. He said, shoved that thing in gear and started chasing me, trying to run me down. He said, I went to my truck. He says, I got my gun, he said, and I was going to kill that man, he said. He said, I've tried for the last month to be good. He said, I can't be good. Is there any good people here today? Can any of us be good, huh? So when Lanier started sharing that, I kind of chuckled. I said, the Bible said there's none that's good. No, not one. When you and I, the most difficult thing for me to do, ladies and gentlemen, is for me to try to be a Christian. When I try to be a Christian, I fail every time. But when I get out the way and let Jesus do his thing, then glorious things happen. Amen. Lanier, he repented, gave his heart to Jesus, and I found out that he had a dad that came over a little bit earlier, and he was a pastor down in Florida. I go, Lanier, you need to call your dad. He said, oh, I've done a lot of wrong, he said, to my family. He said, they don't want to hear from me. I said, but you're a Christian now. I said, I really believe that will encourage your dad to hear from you. So he said, I'll call me in the morning. So I called Lanier on the phone. He was already on the road the next day. And I said, did you call? How's things going? He said, Chaplain Jay, I'm not the same person, he said. He said, I feel this big old burden lifted off of me. He said, I feel light. I feel clean. I've got a joy in my life and a peace I never had before. I said, well, did you call your dad? He said, no, what I'm going to do is my company, I've been out on the road for 6 weeks now. Some of these drivers, see, in my mind, before I became a truck stop chaplain, I thought these drivers went home every night just like I did. Some of them are out on the road for 2 months at a time. We met a guy here the other day, 6 months at a time he's out on the road. I'm a homeboy. I like my family. I like to go home. I can't imagine being gone that long. And along with that, there's all kinds of temptations and perils and just heartache and pain and destruction out there because they might be 2,000 miles from home across the United States. They're unaccountable. Nobody knows me. And when you're out like that, you begin to start saying things and doing things if you're not under the blood, if you're not born again. And anyway, Lanier, he was out for 6 weeks, and his company told him, says, you need to get off the road for a week. And he requested he would go down to Florida and spend a week with his dad down there. So that was a blessing there for his sweet father to see that his prayers weren't in vain, that his son got born again and saved. Amen? I don't just stay in the chapel when I'm there as well. You know, I mingle around the truck stop, and I go across the road to the other truck stops, facilities there. We've got these new little New Testament Bibles here. We pass out 1,200 of these little New Testaments a month. I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but to me, that's huge. From that little trailer, from one little location, 1,200 Bibles are going out a month, plus tracts and other full Bibles, other literature as well. That's a lot of souls that are being reached with the glorious gospel. I believe that this ministry here is a fast-paced, fruitful, a hard-hitting ministry. The main thing that we do is discipleship. We see a lot of Christians that come in the chapel and are just weary, they're road weary, they're wore out, and they're discouraged in life, and a lot of new Christians, what we disciple. Evangelism, that's the big one that we do, evangelism. Anybody here know what the word apologetics means? Apologetics? We do a lot of apologetics. As I mentioned about that man that came in with that weird, bizarre doctrine, that if you want to pray for me, that's one of the things you can really pray for, is that I can have strength and endurance, that I can have a balance of God's word. But when people come in, that truck stop with just weird, bizarre, twisted stuff. And Nate, you know what's weird? The ones that come in with this weird doctrine, they can quote the Bible 10 times better than I could ever think about quoting it. They can find scriptures like that. They can outlast you. They can out-endure you. They've got energy that they can go all night long, and they'll try to keep you up all night long to wear you completely out. And when that happens, you realize that there's something demonic that's going on there. It's a supernatural power that's there to hinder the work of Almighty God. As a church, we need to be sowing into work that's winning souls. Would you agree with that? I know there's a lot of good work that's out there, but we need to be into a ministry and as a church, sowing into work that's winning souls. What I would, as a missionary, I would propose to you, I'd like to ask you this. Would you and your mission board prayerfully consider praying for Karen and I and financially supporting us on a regular basis? We need that. We are missionaries. And what else I'd like to do too is I've got 8 men right now. I'd like to put this challenge out. Are there any men here that maybe God is calling you? Say, you know, I'd like to minister to the truck drivers. There's some prerequisites. You got to be born again, amen? Huh? You got to have a love for souls. You need a workable knowledge of the scriptures. And you just need to be there and be available. And God does the work. You stand back and watch the salvation of our great God and King. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalms 62, if you would. Or if you just feel maybe God is just saying, you know, I'd like to check that ministry out. Gentlemen, I'd really like to have you experience one of the worship services there at the chapel. I'd like to show you the truck stop and what we do and stuff there. In Psalms 62 and verse 5, the Bible says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Ladies and gentlemen, if your expectation is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be let down. If your expectation is in a truck stop chaplain, a pastor, a pope, a priest, another person, we will let you down. Amen. Jesus Christ, He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always on call for you and I. I get people coming to chapel many times and say, "Driver, what you need to do is you need to go out to your big truck. You need to spend time with Jesus. You just need to cry out to the Lord for His mercy and His grace. You don't need me to talk to me. You need to talk to Jesus." I think that's good counsel right there. Because you know, I'm finding out that a large percent of the church does not spend a whole lot of time in prayer. We're busy. It says, verse 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." I think that's good counsel right there. He only. Think of that. Do you know a lot of the churches, what they're doing? They're bringing in methods and programs and self-helps and step programs. They're taking people and they're sending them to these programs. Folks, we need to point them to Jesus. That's what we need to do. You won't go wrong there. If a person gets born again, they fall in love with Jesus, they'll want to come to church. They'll want to start reading their Bible. And then you can start discipling them from the Word. Does that make sense? I'm finding out the church is turning people away from Jesus Christ. And they think they're doing God a service. They say, "Well, this is 20 and 13. God don't work the same way that He used to." Well, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? One time I had this young lady gave her heart to Jesus. And I was taking her to a shelter to help her get some food and clothes. And it wasn't really a shelter. This guy here does this on his own. And he'll give them a little room. He'll get them a job. And then he'll get them just productive in society. He said, "Jay, you get them saved, you bring them here." And he says, "We'll do the other part with them." So I was taking this young girl there, and it was a man, it was cold in January, and a man was walking down the street and the other across the road. And this young girl said to me, she says, "Do you think that he's one of God's elect? Is God calling that man?" I said, "Well, honey," I said, "you pray and give me a Bible there." So I took a Bible, I went across the road, and as this man was walking like this, his head down and kind of throwing his hands around and talked to himself, and he got right in front of me and said, "Hey, sir," I said, "did you get one of these?" I gave him a Bible. And I began to witness to him. And it wasn't very profound what I said, just something very simple. And you know what that man did? He grabbed me by the wrist and he pulled me down on that old cement sidewalk. And he started repenting, started crying just like that. I believe anybody in this church can do that. Amen? He got up and he grabbed me. And I said, "Come here, I want you to meet somebody." So I took him back to the car. And this young lady, she was ecstatic. She was in tears. She was praising God. And he had this old hat on. It says, was it Camel Joe, the most cigarettes, you know? And I had a hat on that said, "El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty," on it. He said, "Man, I like that hat," he said. And I said, "You like that hat?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "That's your hat." So he took the hat and he gave me the old Joel Cool hat, and I had that on. And we started witnessing to him and stuff. He goes, "What was amazing, though, is that," he says, "when I was walking down the street there," he said, "I was just saying, God, is there a God? If there is, you've given up on me. God, where are you at? God, if you're real, talk to me. Give me a sign." He said, "Then I almost ran into you," he said. That's a God thing. Amen? One afternoon in the chapel, it wasn't very busy, and I was all caught up in my paperwork and phone calls and stuff. And so I thought, well, I felt like the Lord said, grab the cross and carry the cross around the truck stop. And you see that's a little door there, and I hit this 8-foot cross, and so I'm fumbling around the cross, and I'm staggering, trying to get down the stairs and bring that thing out. And I hear this voice. This voice says, you look stupid. This is nobody else in this truck stop is carrying a cross. You're walking around with the cross on your shoulder. Do you know how dumb that looks? Does anybody know where that voice is coming from? Amen. I felt like grabbing the cross and running back into the chapel. Right out in front of the truck, there's an old blue garbage can there. And so I stuck the cross there, and I just stood there for a little bit. And I thought, well, I'll just stand there for a little bit. And as the drivers come in, I'll just kind of wave at them and smile and point up like this here, you know. And I did that for about half an hour, 45 minutes. All of a sudden, this big truck was leaving. He was leaving the truck stop. And all of a sudden, he hit the brakes, slapped the air brakes on. He jumped out, and I thought, he's going to hit me. And I've been hit before. I've had guns pulled on me, knives pulled on me. I've had busted bottles broke towards my face, shoved, spit at. So this man ran up. I thought, I'm going to get it again, you know. He walked up there, and he dropped down his knees and cradled the cross, and he started repenting. He said, for the last few weeks, he said, I've been driving down the road saying, God, if you're real, show me a sign, Lord. I don't hear from you. Do you know the Bible said that God hides his ear from the sinner? Huh? Do you know that? The prayer that he'll hear though is when we repent. God hears that prayer then. But as long as we're living an old, wicked, nasty, vile life, God is not going to honor them prayers. Do you know that? Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's what the Word says. But he'll hear an old sinner when they repent. He said, I've been thinking, driving down the road, saying, you know, Lord, where are you at? I don't hear from you. And he said, as I pulled in, he said, I've seen you stand at that cross and smiling and pointing up in the air. He said, God, that ain't no sign. He said, if that's real, said that man will still be there by the time that I fill up my truck, go to the restroom, get a sandwich and stuff. If he's still there, then I know it's you calling me to you. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I was just ready to go in back in the trailer, and I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt God speak. He said, Jay, just wave at one more driver. Wave at one more driver. How many can do that here this morning? Wave at a driver, huh? Point him to Jesus. As I did that, that old truck stopped. He said, you know, sir, he says, I gave my heart to the Lord. He says, in Little Baptist Church, and I was 5 years old. He says, and I served God strongly. He said, so I was about, I think he's about 15. And then he said, I just started turning the other direction, he said. And he's a man probably about 40 years old. He said, he lived a really wicked life. And that man rededicated his life back to Jesus, you know, that day. The Bible says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. You know, if we're planted upon the solid rock of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be moved. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're planted upon a church, a program, a method, you will be moved. Do you know that? You'll be shaken. You'll fall. But I want you, if you're planted in Jesus Christ, he will sustain you every time. It says in verse 7, in God is my salvation. Do you know the churches are teaching you've got to be baptized to be saved? You got to be on the church roll, church membership. You got to speak in tongues. They've got a list of things you've got to do to be saved. Aren't you thankful that it's simple? It's narrow. It's straight. Even a child can understand it. It says here, he only is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. That refuge, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can run to him anytime, day or night. He's ever there for us. Amen. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. In the book of Revelations, Jesus Christ is known as faithful and true. He's trustworthy. It says, pour your hearts out to him. Pour your souls out. You know, my brothers and sisters here this morning, it's good to be with you and with the family of God. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I don't feel like reading the Bible. Anybody ever feel like that? Do you know our feelings will lie to us? There are times I don't feel like praying. There are times I can get so discouraged and all of a sudden what I'm realizing is when I get like that, I've got one prayer that I can pray. And that is, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, God. You're the God who began that flame. You're the God who continued to fan it, Lord, and keep me going. God, help me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me that I'm getting lethargic and cold and I don't want to read your precious word. And all of a sudden, I'm praying. Remember a minute ago, I didn't want to pray. As I started doing that, and I pour my heart out, and before long, the Lord says, bring your verses back to your memory. Before long, I'm into the Bible, and I'm starting to read the Bible, and maybe an hour went by, and I'm going, God, you're so good. You are so great. What a wonderful God. Never leave us or ever forsake us. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm realizing as Christians many times, and I've done this too, when people are discouraged and that they're hurting, they're not making it, they're not getting the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. What people will do, and Christians mean well, they say, well, you've got to pray more often. They'll say, you've got to read more of your Bible. Well, you're reading you need to read 10 chapters a day. Well, you need to go to church more often. Well, you need to fast for 21 days. I think all them things are good things, okay? But they in themselves saying that these are the things that are going to bring me closer to God, then that's a self-righteous work. Does that make sense? Don't get mad at me and throw me out here and say, I'm not saying don't read the Bible. I'm not saying don't pray. But when we're saying that these are the things that make us closer to God, that's a lie. And we do that in the church many times. There's one thing that makes you and I close to God the Father. It's Jesus Christ, amen? He's the only way, amen? It's only through Him. If we try any other way or method, it's a slap in the face to a holy God who allowed His only begotten Son to be beaten and butchered and battered on a cruel cross, and then me to come up to say, well, I can read more. I can pray more. I can do this or that. Don't get caught in that trap. That's self-righteous legalism is what it is. We should read. We should pray on a regular basis. If you're plugged into Jesus, you will be doing them things. Paul knew that he was coming towards the end of his journey here. And he said to Timothy in 2 and 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I ask the question back to you, church. How are we to be strong according to this verse, verse 1? Amen. That's right, yes. The grace that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. There is strength there. When you and I are weak, His grace is manifested in our lives. Amen? If we cry out to Him. But if I run to something else, a program or a method, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others as well. So we've heard this glorious gospel message. And church, I know you're doing this. You're striving to disciple other people. You're striving to commit these things to them as well, to pass a baton that they'll run with it to minister to others as well. Well, that's what we strive to do in that little chapel there too. And by the grace of God, we're passing the baton to other men and women that are literally all over the world. God changes lives. I had a man named Eddie. I don't get to disciple people a lot over a long period of time because their routes change. I might not ever see him again. Eddie came in the chapel about 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. And he started bragging with me how many women he could have, any woman that he wanted. He could fight any man and beat him up. He could ride bulls and he had money and stuff, and the biggest, fastest truck out there on the road. And he said that he had a logging company, too, up in Minnesota. And he was really boasting in himself. I said, you know, Eddie, I said, I used to be searching for fulfillment and happiness and satisfaction myself in life. And I said, you know, I found something that changed my life around. I really, truly had peace. Remember, Eddie was just bragging about all the things he could do. He had a big list of them. When he heard me say that, Eddie sat up on the edge of his seat. He goes, what is it? What is it that you found? I said, well, it was a person. He goes, who was it? I said, Eddie, it was Jesus Christ. All along my life's journey, that's what I was searching for. It was Him. And I was looking in all the wrong places. Old Eddie, he cried out to Jesus and repented and committed his heart to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege to work with Eddie for about 6 months. He would come in every Thursday morning at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was able to disciple him and just see him grow in the things of God as well. And that's what it says here. And these that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He became a soul winner, praise God. Verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Are there any kingdom soldiers here this morning? Any? Amen? Oh, there's a couple, praise God. Folks, if we're born again, we're soldiers of Almighty God, amen? We're called into the army of God. This is no plaything that we're involved with. Eternal souls are perishing, they're dying, they're going to hell every day. We've got a mission, and it's to reach souls with this gospel right here, not another one. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth because they were teaching another Jesus. They were teaching another gospel. They had another spirit. Do you know a lot of churches are doing that? It's another Jesus. It's not the same one that saved you and I. There's one and one only. We need to make the way straight and narrow. Corinthians says, if the trumpet make an unclear sound, how can they prepare for battle? We're in battle, ladies and gentlemen. How many here have got loved ones, family members that are not born again? We're in battle for them. We've got neighbors, people we work with, people in school that don't know Jesus. And you know what I find out is when I get out there, if we walked around McHenry here, we asked every person here, says, do you believe in God? I know not everybody would agree to that, but the majority of people would say, yes, I believe in God. If you ask them, says, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's son and he died on a cross for you? Do you know the majority of people say yes to that? Do you know that the Bible teaches that even the devil believes in God and he trembles? Believing in God with an intellectual head knowledge is not salvation. All that is a knowledge that you believe the Bible is God's word and you believe Jesus Christ did die on the cross. But I really like what Jesus said. He said, ye must be born again. Amen? There's no other way. It's not church membership. It's not giving tithes and offerings. It's not ministering at a truck stop. None of that stuff will save us, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, we must be born again. I like that too. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, this morning, just living in this world, we're going to have hardness. There's hardship and heartache and problems and pain, but that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about there, when you are a soldier for the kingdom of God, you're going to suffer hardness. People will hate you. Your spouse might leave you. Your children might disown you. Your parents might disown you. Do you know that? That's what this is talking about. It ain't talking about just the basic pains of living in life. He's talking about here, the pains you will suffer. All them that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise from Almighty God. Today we're teaching, give your heart to Jesus and everything will be okay. You know what? Give your heart to Jesus and you might lose everything in this old world. But we've gained it all for eternity. Amen? I'm a coward. I don't like people not to like me. I don't like pain and discomfort. I don't think Jesus, being fully God in the flesh, I don't think he liked pain either. Amen? But he was a man of sorrows and he was despised and rejected of men. He came on his own, his very own. They received him not. I believe there was pain in that. Amen? But he endured the cross, despising the shame for you and I. Sit down at the right hand of God the Father. What a loving Lord to do that for this church right here, for each one of you individually. We hold the greatest treasure that the world is looking for, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. Good soldiers, endure hardness. Do it with grace and love. What I'm realizing too is that when people get real mean and vulgar and nasty towards you just because you love Jesus, well, they don't know any better, amen? Remember Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I was in the truck stop there, standing outside the double doors. I'm just passing out some tracts to people and just saying, hey, driver, we're going to have worship service tonight at 7 o'clock. We'd be honored to have you there tonight if you can make it. Does that sound very threatening to you? It didn't to me either, I thought. But I handed this driver that tract, and I said that to him. After he heard my little spiel, he crumbled it up and he literally growled at me and threw it back and hit me in the face, that little tract. And he told me where to go. I said, well, driver, I'm not going there, I said. Because of the grace of God, amen? I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I go, and you don't have to go there either, sir. He goes, you trying to be a smart blankety blank? And he came at me, started thumping me in the chest. And he told me, he says, get out of here now. You leave. I said, sir, if you don't want to hear the gospel, you leave. I said, I'm planted here in Jesus' name. I ain't going anywhere. He goes, oh, you little. I thought he should have hit me. I really did. Oh, God, help me. God is good, amen. The Bible said he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Praise God, he washed over, and the guy got frustrated, and he walked away. He walked inside the double glass doors, and I was inviting other people, and I could hear him hitting the counter and yelling at the cashier. The cashier's going like this, you know, and they called the manager. And then the manager came, and he's yelling at the manager. And you know what's so beautiful? You know what that manager said to that truck driver? He said, that man is pushing his religion on me. He's soliciting me. And the manager says, oh, no. She said, that's Brother Jay. She said, he doesn't solicit. She said, he shares the gospel here. That's what we do here. He said, I don't like it. He doesn't have no right to be here. And he went on and on and on. And the man, she says, well, I'm sorry, sir, you feel that way, but we believe in Jesus Christ here. And we're going to continue to do this as long as the Lord allows us. So you have a good evening, sir. Is that favor with God? Whew. The third Wednesday of every month, we inside the truck stop there, they have a theater room. And so the third Wednesday of the month, I don't do the service inside the chapel. I do it inside the theater room. And I usually get a couple from Chicago. He plays guitar and harmonica, and his wife comes with him. And I just invite the folks to come in the theater room. And so this particular night there, there's a couple guys. When they come to these drivers, I understand they run hard, they work hard, and they get their pop and their popcorn. They want to watch a movie, you know. But the third Wednesday, we do the service inside the theater room from 7 to 9. And so these guys just started yelling and screaming. They were cursing. They'd run up to the door. They'd yell at me, and they'd cuss and stuff. And they'd run back out again and stuff and just kept it up in that. And this is before the service even started, as we were setting up. And so all of a sudden, then the guy went to the counter, the cashier, where they got the videos and stuff. And he says, "I want a video in there right now." And she said, "Well, sir," said, "he's going to start in less than an hour." And she said, "Here's a video. Here you can." He said, "I don't want that video." And he just kept yelling and cursing and stuff. And I didn't know that was going on at the cashier until I heard on the intercom, "Security, come to the shower desk." So as I heard security, I thought, well, not that I'm much in security, but I thought, I'll go there anyway, you know, and just if there's any way I could be of any help. So I go to the counter and think, what's going on? And they're talking about me. And I'm like, oh, boy. And I thought, I don't want to do nothing to cause problem at this business. I know this is a business place is what it is. And all of a sudden, security man, there's his name is Chet. He's a Christian police officer. Ain't God good? So he's being very patient with this man. And this man is being very vulgar and nasty, and he's hitting the counter and stuff. And Chet says, "Well, driver, we're sorry you feel that way, but we got this video here that you can play. This is only 45 minutes long. If you want to watch that, you can." And all of a sudden, that driver, he hit that video, went flying. And old Chet, he changed then. But he took authority not as a police officer. He took authority as a man of God. And he rebuked him in Jesus' name. He said, "If you don't like that," he says, "you can leave." He said, "This is what we do here. We strive to run a Christian truck stop. We love Jesus here. This is what we do inside that theater room the third Wednesday. That belongs to Chaplain Jay. He can do that." And I'm standing back like this listening. And I literally just start crying, going, "God, you're so good to show favor towards an old wretch like me." And the guy finally left. Later on, I walked up to Chet and I said, "Chet," I said, I shook his hand. I said, "I really want to thank you." I said, "You know," I said, "we had one driver give his heart to Jesus tonight at the end of the service." He said, "Oh, praise God." He said, "Don't thank me." He said, "Thank Jesus." He says, "This is what we do here." He said, "As long as I'm the police officer here," he said, "you'll do what God's called you to do." That's the favor of God. Amen? Verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." I'll ask again, are there any soldiers here of Jesus Christ this morning? Amen. As soldiers of God, men and women and young people, we should not let our lives be entangled with the affairs of this life. That means we're still going to be entangled in the affairs of this world, and we're going to have issues. We've got to work, got to go to school, and there's political system things going on. But what he's saying is, don't let them things engulf you to the point you forget your call in God. Amen? You know, the world is saying be politically correct. That's a bunch of hogwash. Amen? I think we need to be biblically correct. Amen? Biblically. I preached at a church the other day and they were hollering about the guns and stuff. They said, and said, "Why don't the government take our guns? We need to be controlled." I said, "No," I said, "we don't need gun control." I said, "We need to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. If you and I are controlled by the Spirit of God, we'll be different men and women for the Lord. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this old world because you want to please Him, our chief commander, the high apostle of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Let me ask this question here as I close this morning. Who would say, I know Nate was talking about assurance. And that's a beautiful thing too, Nate. When people come in the chapel, I was trained, you give people assurance of salvation. That's wrong. If people got doubts in their heart, if they got doubt and question, they're grappling, wrestling, things are going on, take them to salvation, amen? Let them repent. Let them get born again. If they're born again and the Spirit of God is working in them and they're reading this word, they're going to have assurance that Nate talked about, amen? That assurance that is only found in Jesus Christ. Maybe they need to get born again. That's the issue at hand. How many of you say this morning, I know 100% for sure, I'm a blood-bought, born-again, Holy Spirit-filled child of God. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I passed from life here, death here. I'm going to life with my God forevermore. How many know that 110%? Amen? There's a church out there that says that if you believe that, it's called the sin of presumption. Am I saying it right, Karen? That they say, well, that's a sin for anybody to presume that they can know for sure. I know. I don't know much, but I know that. Amen? Thank God He loves me, and I'm safe and secure in Jesus Christ. How many would say, as a blood-bought child of God, there's some things going on in your life that you know are not pleasing to the Lord, and you want to deal with that this morning? Who'd say that you as a Christian? Amen. God bless you, honey. Praise God. Who else? Wave that banner high. Amen? How many say this morning, say, you know, I've never truly been born again. Maybe you was like me. You, before I got saved, I believed in God. I believed the Bible was God's word. I believed Jesus died on a cross for our sins. It was an intellectual head knowledge. Brother, I'd belly up to the bar with the next drunk, and I'd argue and fight. There's a God. It's Jesus. I believe the Bible. But I didn't believe it. Amen? I just knew about it is what it was. And that is not salvation, ladies and gentlemen. There are people that go to church their whole life, and they believe in God. They even love God. They love the church. But they've never truly been born again. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. You need to deal with that. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to get saved. We was in a big church here 2 weeks ago, right, Karen? It was funny that the guy that introduced me in the church, he started making apologies for me when he got up. He said, now, you're probably going to be offended. Some of you will be offended here today, but what Brother Jay has to say. And Karen started laughing. She said, well, he's got to make excuses for him before he can get up there. And we had a call of salvation. There was a young lady named Sarah. Well, she raised her hand like this. She started waving it back and forth. It's me. It's me God's talking to. I said, I see that, honey. God bless you. I said, who else here? God is speaking to you. You know you need to repent and get saved today. Sarah went like this again. I said, I see you, honey. God bless you. She was just on the edge of her seat. She did it about 3 or 4 times, and nobody else made a move. I said, Sarah, come on up here, honey, and pray. She prayed in front of everybody a prayer of repentance, and the whole church gave her a clap offering of praise for Jesus for saving one soul. How many here would thank God for one soul to get saved today? Amen? I asked this question. Who would say this morning, say, I've not been born again. I believe in God. I even thought I was a Christian. But I've never truly been saved, and I need to get born again this morning. Who'd say, that's me this morning? I need to do that. I need to deal with that this morning. Don't look around. If you're looking around, that might be you, huh? Amen? I know God is working here. I know God is dealing with souls because he's in the salvation business. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. There are people in every church that are not saved, and that's not a shame. But what a shame is when the opportunity comes to be saved and you do nothing with it, that's a shame. To walk out like you came in, that's a shame. Because you know, the more that we go when God is calling us, each passing day, our hearts become more calloused and more hard. Karen and I did a nursing home ministry with our children for over 15 years. And it's amazing. We did not see a lot of salvations in the nursing home. Because by then, people's lives are pretty calloused and hard. They're stuck in their way. And we've seen them die a most torturous death, haven't we, Karen? Some of them just screaming and cursing at God and stuff as they passed away. You and I, on the other hand, though, I've seen other saints of God die right before my very eyes, going out praising God and thanking the Lord. Who would say this morning, say, you know, I've never truly been born again, and I need to get saved today? Who would say that you this morning? Boy, I know some of you are on the edge of your seat right now, God's speaking to you. But you know what? I'm not going to linger this thing out. But like I said, what the shame is, though, is that if you don't get saved, well, you have a chance. I was preaching in a church. It was an evangelical free church up in Wisconsin, and it was men's breakfast. And a young man was sitting right up front. He jumped up and he looked at everybody. He goes, everybody here in the community knows me, he says. I've been a deacon in this church. He says, I've been here for 20 years. He said, I've never been born again. He said, I'm getting saved now. And that man got down on his knees in front of everybody and repented and cried out. He got born again. Is there anybody here as I close that say, I need to get saved this morning and I want to do that? Anybody? Who here this morning would say, as a soldier of God, I believe the Lord is calling me to a higher caliber as a man or woman or young person. There's some things in my life where I have been entangled in the affairs of this old world, and I want loose from that, and I want to serve my God with liberty and with freedom, with power and anointing. Who'd say that you this morning? Amen. Would you stand up right where you're at right now, those of you that want to pray for you? Praise God. God bless you. Oh, Jesus. Father, we love you, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your great grace that you have lavished upon us in spite of us. Thank you, Lord, that we are the King's kids, blood-bought. We belong to you. Very costly people, as we sit here. Father, for those areas in our lives where there are just strongholds or entanglements or things that are just hindering us, oh God, from the high call of God, Lord, I take authority over those things in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, loose my brothers and sisters, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father God, I pray you just give them a fresh anointing, Lord God, a hunger for your word, to be people of prayer, to seek your face, oh God, like never before. Lord, the psalmist says, like the deer that pants for the water, may our souls long and thirst and hunger after more of Jesus Christ in our life. And Father, I pray with that fresh anointing, oh God, that you just give them a holy boldness too, to be able to speak up for Jesus and to point others to your lovely face. Thank you, Father. Lord God, I just pray for their new pastor coming on board here. Father, I pray, oh God, you would anoint this young man and his family, Lord. Lord, set them apart for your glory and for your honor, Lord. I pray, God, you'd do exceedingly abundantly more than this pastor could ever ask or think. Father, use him mightily as he's faithful, oh God, to study, to show himself, to prove. And he's faithful to you, Lord God, that you would use him, oh God, as a shepherd of this great flock here, oh God, to lead them in this McHenry area, oh God, to win souls. And Father, for the Christians to reach out to other Christians, oh God, that they can love on them and realize they don't have to be in bondage and defeat and discouragement, that they can walk in victory and liberty in you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for great and mighty things to take place in this church the years to come. Lord, there's a lot going on. This whole world is unstable. It's troubled. It's shaken around the globe. There is nothing that is steadfast and immovable except for you, Lord, and your love for us. So, Father, may we camp out there. May we bank there, Lord God, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. Now, Lord, I just pray for these dear souls here this day as they go forth this day in the high call of God as kingdom warriors, Lord. They'd find your grace sufficient. They'd find your love, everything that they need, Lord. They just have a fresh love for you and to point others to your lovely face. Lord, we commit our lives to you, and we just thank you so much for sweet Jesus. In his mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord thanks. Can we do that? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.